Welcome to the new season of the Royal College of General Practitioners Essential Knowledge Update podcast. Thank you for allowing us some space in your personal portable music player, or if you listen to this while sitting in front of your computer, thank you so much for letting us reverberate through your office. My name is Dr. Dirk Pilat, and I'm the clinical lead for the project. This is the first in a series of 6 podcasts, which we will be releasing on a monthly base, and we hope you will find them useful. Here at EKU headquarters, things have been a wee bit hectic, what with the release of EKU 9 and the usual mad scramble to get the podcasts ready for release. For this first edition of the podcast, we will be discussing the EKU module based on an excellent publication by MedFash. The Medical Foundation for AIDS and Sexual Health is a charity dedicated to the pursuit of excellence in the healthcare of people affected by HIV, sexually transmitted infections and related conditions. It undertakes a range of projects to support health professionals and policymakers. The booklet, aptly named HIV in Primary Care, discusses the clinical diagnosis of HIV in primary care, how to offer an HIV test and give results, primary health care for people with HIV, including reproductive health and immunization, how to complement specialist care, and practice policies and systems for optimal patient care and protection of staff. Dr. Louise Newson is a portfolio GP in the Midlands and a prolific writer for a range of medical publications. She has been a regular contributor to EKU over the last 3 years and has given this publication the EKU treatment. I asked her via Skype how she found working on the source.
Well, exhausting. I really enjoyed it, but it was hard because it's very, very long, but very comprehensive. And I think that it was very, very rewarding to do. And I learned a lot about HIV and also about how it relates in primary care. So I think the most important thing probably that I learned from it was that the estimation is about a quarter of people are still undiagnosed. So there's about a quarter of the total number of people with HIV still don't have a diagnosis. And we know, obviously, that an early diagnosis is important because it reduces morbidity and mortality.
So how many people are at the moment infected?
There's about 86,500 people in the UK. But more than 50% of those are actually heterosexual. It's been transmitted heterosexually. Mm-hmm. The key thing that I thought is that we've got to keep our minds open rather than thinking it's only drug abusers or it's only really high risk homosexual groups. It could potentially be any of our patients. So it's important to have a lower threshold for thinking about it and even trying to discuss it maybe with our patients to try and get this early diagnosis made.
In our area, our midwives are now pushing for HIV screening in all young mothers who go for their booking appointment. Does that happen with you as well now?
Yes. I mean, I don't actually work in a high prevalence area, but it is one of the UK's, screening guidelines is for all HIV. And certainly throughout my 3 pregnancies, I've been offered and accepted the test. Mm-hmm. And I think people are more aware of HIV. And certainly, I mean, this is another area in the guideline on antenatal HIV. To be able to identify these women, you can really reduce transmission rates by giving them antiretroviral therapy, which obviously is really important so that the babies are less likely to be infected.
Okay, and where do we come in?
I think our role is really important, like I say, to make an early diagnosis. The other point is to try and promote prevention of HIV so our patients don't have it in the first place. And thinking about women in sexual health clinics in primary care, when cervical screening, even travel clinics, I think all our staff need to be really primed to think about HIV, to plant the seed, as it were, for patients.
So this is really interesting. So what we really should do is ask our nursing staff to advise our patients who come for the travel immunizations to think about HIV risks automatically when they're having their travel advice.
I think so, definitely. I mean, we're all a lot better about talking about chlamydia with our patients, or certainly our younger patients as well. So there's no reason. And I think a lot of people still think they would be protected. It's not going to happen to me type scenario. And obviously it could. I think if staff are primed, it's got to be a good thing, definitely.
Yeah, especially if they're being told that astounding number that these days half of newly diagnosed individuals are infected through heterosexual transmission.
Yes, totally. The other thing in the guideline, there's lots of really good quotes of how to talk to patients about HIV, and it's just wording it carefully is really important. So the last thing you want to do is scare someone or also be judgmental about someone or their sexual habits, for example, and it might put people off then coming to see you in the future. So it's trying to be really open and almost a bit vague about it so that people will maybe think about whether they are at any high risk behavior at all.
I then ask Louise whether after diagnosing of HIV, a general practitioner's skill in chronic disease management would be important.
Totally. And I think what's important is that actually there are patients with diabetes probably have a worse prognosis than people with HIV. HIV is a condition, like a chronic condition that people live with. The life expectancy is so different to how it was 10, 20 years ago with the antiretroviral therapy, which is great. It's fantastic for patients. But like you say, it means we have to be a lot more vigilant with our chronic disease management because HIV patients have an increased risk of coronary heart disease, strokes, chronic kidney disease. Things like cervical screening in the women, they need to be done yearly. They also have to be up to date with their vaccines and obviously given hepatitis B, C vaccines if appropriate. So it's really important that we look at all this as well. And usually this is done in conjunction with specialist clinics. Mm-hmm. But I think, like you say, the people are going to live longer. So it's really important that their health is key for longer as well.
I have a group of patients in my practice who are doing astonishingly well. They've been diagnosed over 10 years. Absolute picture of health, very active in their careers. And it's just a delight to see them doing so well.
It's great.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things with the antiretroviral therapy, as I'm sure most people are aware, people have to take, the patients have to take usually a combination of over three drugs, and they're not without side effects, and people are often limited with these side effects. So compliance really can be an issue, especially when people are feeling well. It's very hard to take medicines when you're feeling well, as we all know.
Yeah, so, which goes for any other chronic disease as well, whether it's hypertension or diabetes.
Of course, definitely. Yeah. And I think that's where us as GPs, it's really important to make sure that we can improve compliance as much as possible.
Any final thoughts?
Because we don't often make diagnosis of HIV in surgery, I think it's really important that when someone is reading the EKU, that we all think about how we do actually make the diagnosis. And we need to make sure that we've got an established, clear referral pathway. And also, if we see someone that we think urgently needs a diagnosis made, how would we do that? Because what we don't want to do is wait till we need it and then think, who do they get referred to? How often are the tests done? Where do we send the test to? So I think all GPs need to have in the back of their mind how to test their patients.
Very true. And I'm rather confident that this EKU module and the booklet by Medfash will make GPs better prepared to look after and identify patients with HIV. This was the first Essential Knowledge Update podcast for EKU 9. It was produced using Audacity, the free and open audio editor. The opening track was used with kind permission by Matt Bianco. My name is Dirk Pilat. Goodbye.